Iraqi weather forecast for today. Going to be a mixture of clouds and sun. Going to be cooler, though. We will have a high only around 71 degrees. Kenosha right now, 65. 64 in Burlington. Milwaukee, 67. And it's 65 degrees in Racine. The man from Racine who phoned in that bomb threat last October that closed the Racine County Courthouse for half a day has now been sentenced to 3 years in prison. Racine Circuit Court Judge Eugene Gasukevich also giving 46-year-old Lee Lucas another year of extended supervision afterward. Lucas pleading guilty to a charge of making a bomb scare with charges of telephone harassment and disorderly conduct dismissed. Lucas telling investigators he called in that threat, trying to stop an eviction hearing for a woman he claimed to have been intimate with. Because of that threat, the courthouse was evacuated and remained closed until the afternoon. In Kenosha Circuit Court, the district attorney's office said that 35-year-old Jason Reed may have committed the largest number of sexual assaults in county history. And while not convicted of all of them, he'll be spending 18 years in prison for at least some. Judge Chad Kirkman giving Reed as well 15 years of extended supervision once he gets out. Reed pleading guilty to 3 counts of second-degree sexual assault, 1 count of child enticement. Several other charges dismissed under a plea agreement. Assistant DA Thomas Binger said it saved the victims, ages 17 to their 40s, from the ordeal of having to testify in court. Binger noting that many more victims likely have not come forward. Wisconsin Supreme Court, in a 135-page decision on a Dodge County case, upholding an appeals court ruling that says sexual assault victims can still be barred from testifying against their accused assailant if they refuse to let a judge see their mental health care records. This decision affecting the case of a former Fox Lake police chief. Same kind of issue, though, the High Court received from Racine County, and the case of Kurt Johnson of the famed S.C. Johnson family, who was ultimately convicted in a plea agreement on 2 misdemeanors. Well, in light of what's been happening around the country over the past several years, including most recently, more and more law enforcement agencies are testing what they are calling active shooter scenarios for purposes of training officers. Also, government, business representatives, other community members are getting that training. Racine County Board Vice Chair Pamela Zena Richards mentioned to her colleagues that recently one of those scenarios is going to be coming up at the Ivesgrove office complex in the near future.
Late last month, I attended a security review of the Ivesgrove complex, and one of the purposes of that review was in preparation for active shooter training. We will be holding that at a future date, sometime during the day, and the supervisors will all be invited to it if you can make it.
She said that she's already been through it with the exercise, that is, at the Dennis Cornwolf building on Taylor Avenue, suggested to those colleagues, the supervisors, it's rather eye-opening, if nothing else. No specific date, though, mentioned for when it will occur. If you're up in the Green Bay area, don't have a lead foot, apparently. The Press Gazette there reporting the number of speeding tickets written so far this year is triple the number tallied by mid-July of a year ago. There's another warning to Pokemon Go players about where you can play the smartphone video game and its relation to reality. It's from the Wisconsin Bankers Association, this warning, that says if you're playing and you walk into a bank and you chase a Pokemon into the vault area or behind the teller counter, you might just trigger a robbery response procedure from the employees and police. Racine, of course, has a lengthy history of being an industrial community. That continues to be felt with the need to clean up contaminated land that the city owns for possible future redevelopment. Brownfields, as they're called, different locations having different priorities. The Redevelopment Authority this week talked about that issue, hearing from City Development Director Amy Connolly, getting into what seemed to be the current priorities, beginning with the former Racine Steel casting site, which has received a number of grants already from EPA and the state.
As we're applying for grants and working on finalizing different projects in the city, I've realized that, you know, as we're talking to our granting agencies, this tends to be the current and staff efforts and grants received from the EPA that we're working on right now.
She noted that Machinery Row and its connected projects on the Root River, they get high ranking after RSC, and she mentioned Uptown within the top five, a comprehensive plan that's now starting to unfold, projects like the Veterans Housing Effort among the first trying to revitalize that area. RDA Chairman Jim Spangenberg, the former alderman, he urged Connolly to prioritize the West Racine area now because of shrinking retail despite good housing stock. And in Kenosha, looks like they're going to dredge the lagoon at Lincoln Park. A proposed change in the city's capital improvement budget to pay for that. It got the approval of the city's Stormwater Utility Committee this week. The Director of Public Works, Shelley Billingsley, telling the panel that a DNR permit will be needed because of the testing that was done there. The project also going to cost a little more than the original estimate. Alderman Kevin Mathewson says he's excited about the project and the general turnaround at Lincoln Park.
I can't even imagine what they're going to pull out of there. I live only a few blocks away from there. Lincoln Park in general has seen such a transformation with the disc golfers, with the Boys and Girls Club, all the activities there. It's just the park is cleaning up just because there's so many extra eyes out there.
It's believed the lagoon has not been dredged since back in the 1970s. Now it's hoped that the DNR will issue that permit in early August. It'll include when the dredging can take place, though it's possible this project may not occur until next spring. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave announcing the Workforce Solutions Center on Taylor Avenue is going to be sharing in a $4 million Work IT grant. This will provide information technology training for young adults throughout southeast Wisconsin. Here's WRJN's Janet Hoff with details.
The grant was awarded to a partnership of seven counties in southeast Wisconsin, representing three workforce development areas. The Southeastern Wisconsin Workforce Development Board, which serves Racine, Kenosha, and Walworth counties, will receive $1 million over the next 4 years to train 17 to 29-year-olds with various barriers to employment in advanced manufacturing, healthcare, and information technology. Gateway Technical College, the local training provider, will partner to provide classes in IT-related specialties. Additionally, numerous business associations and over 40 individual businesses have agreed to support the initiative. Janet Hoff, AM 1400, WRJN News.
The Wisconsin Humane Society appears ready to start moving on a new location in Racine County. A zoning public hearing is scheduled for 6:30 p.m. next Tuesday at the Mount Pleasant Village Hall on a petition to rezone almost 5 acres at the northeast corner of 90th and 16th Streets for the construction of a 16,000-square-foot animal shelter facility. This will replace the smaller existing building on Chicory Road, which WHS inherited, of course, with the exit of Countryside Humane Society. The Village Plan Commission then has the same rezoning request on its meeting agenda the following afternoon. Also at Tuesday night's zoning public hearing, the much-talked-about and proposed changes on where boats and trailers and other vehicles can be parked on residential properties, as well as proposed changes to structure setbacks. Racine Unified School District now just weeks away from opening two newly constructed elementary schools plus a middle school addition. Board of Education this week also talking about future facilities needs and the criteria to consider in maybe closing some buildings because of student population and programming needs. Board Vice President Dennis Weiser, based on past experience, telling his colleagues and staff, be generic with any examples. Some of the board members did offer ideas for criteria to at least get things moving on what will likely be some more intense discussion later on.
Transportation costs, if we're moving children around, what is it costing us to do that?
Is it a three-section school, or is it a school that could be easily converted into a three-section school?
Possibly if you could link performance with environmental factors.
No reference to a school A or a school B, or maybe closing buildings or combining programs, just some general discussion about how to approach the issue in the future. And starting up on Monday in Pleasant Prairie, a couple of road projects going to get going, rather significant, and it will affect people if they're driving in the areas. DOT has one involving the resurfacing of Highway 165 from the interstate to Highway 31. This will include expanding the road from 2 to 4 lanes between Corporate Drive and Turwall Terrace. Now, that'll mean a new bridge over the Des Plaines River. With the existing bridge, get a new polymer coating to expand its useful lifetime. The work will mean a single lane closure in both directions for the long term, about an $8.2 million project targeted to wrap up next summer. And there's work scheduled on replacing a water main underneath 91st Street between Sheridan Road and the Union Pacific tracks. That work to reduce the road to a single lane. Temporary traffic signals will be installed at both ends of that project area for about a week. WRJN newscasts are in podcast form. They're on our webpage. You go to WRJN.com and look in the local news section. Also, at WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.
746 on our-